Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's change the subject completely, because this is just depressing, Anton Harbour, Professor. How do we change this? How do we actually get our minds away from load shedding when that's all we seem to be able to think about?
Well, then we talk about the media, don't we?
We do. We go from one to the other. So let's just talk about media, because there's been a lot of discussions around freedom of speech versus, I don't know, the woke movement, saying that we can't talk about certain things, certain conversations can happen, certain conversations can't. And certainly I've experienced that. I was actually going to write an article about this 2 weeks ago, because I had said something, or in fact I'd written an article on Meghan Markle, and I was accused of being a racist, a misogynist. I was told that I have no right to write on the subject because I'm a middle-aged white male, and it's an absurdity. So we're pigeonholing people to the point that as a 54-year-old white male, that's what I'm allowed to talk about. But, you know, things that pertain to me, anything else outside of that is completely unacceptable. So we are doing a lot of censoring in our way towards liberalism and freedom of speech. How do we manage this?
So, Howard, you know, I just want to put this in perspective, because wokeism is a much abused concept and phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you're saying you were silenced, but you in our society are a very loud voice.
Mm-hmm.
You have your say, you've got an audience. Nobody actually silences you. They criticize you.
Yes,
they might
true that.
They think
it is
you
true.
Can say or not.
Yes.
But they're entitled to. So let's keep it in perspective.
Ah, I like that. You've reframed it for me. You're absolutely right.
Let me do it a little bit more. There are instances where it goes a bit crazy, and a good example is when Adam Habib used words people were offended by in the context of explaining that these words are not unacceptable.
Yes, so, 100%.
So that was ridiculous.
Completely, yes.
But it blew over.
Right. Well, okay. That's the point, because if somebody isn't a racist, then no amount of accusing them of being that makes them that if there just isn't substance to it. So it doesn't bother me that it, it did bother Adam Habib, and rightfully so, because there was really a horrible storm in an unnecessary teacup there. But he just isn't, if you aren't who you're accused of being, then you just aren't.
That's quite right. And, you know, people like you and I who have a strong public voice, we have to stand our ground and say what we think and not be intimidated. But let me say that wokeism per se is awareness and sensitivity to issues of social justice, race and gender, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to acknowledge we live in a society where these are big issues.
Right.
Race and gender discrimination are big issues. So I'm not sure what people mean when they say you're oversensitive on the issue. I don't think you can be in this society.
Right.
So that's the perspective I would like to say. I'd like to say, if you're worried about censorship, you should much more worry about the fact that, for example, in America, where a lot of this discussion comes from, the right wing in certain states are banning books from school libraries, discussion of certain issues from classrooms.
Right.
That to me is real censorship, and that to me is a real threat to American freedom of speech.
So do you perceive a problem, though, on the side of the left as well? If not, perhaps in a different way? Or do you not see the issue there at all?
I do think there is sometimes a problem, particularly on some campuses where people of some views found themselves shouted down and out. So I wouldn't say it isn't a problem, but I would say that many of the cases we hear about, you think of J.K. Rowling. Well, J.K. Rowling can't be canceled. She's one of the loudest voices in the globe.
Right.
So yes, she gets a lot of flack. Yes, people decide to boycott her books or boycott her talks or stay away, but they're entitled to.
But doesn't that J.K. Rowling is fine, and I'm fine because I'm thick-skinned and I really couldn't be bothered with. I mean, I see through it, or I cannot see through it. I continue through it even if I'm accused of something. But what about the people who look at that from the outside and say, whoa, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't want to be accused of being a racist just because I'm a white male writing an opinion on something. What about the voices that are silenced before they even allowed to be voiced because of a mob or a perceived mob control of what we say in public?
So I think that is a problem. You're quite right that social media means you can get a mob attack on you for stating certain views just because of your age or your race or your or your religion or some aspect of that, and that is most unfortunate, or your gender.
Right.
And that is a real problem. I agree, that kind of mob attack on someone who you disagree with on the basis of race or gender or age, that is a worrying phenomenon that we need to face up to.
I had a conversation with my daughter when Roe v. Wade was very much in the public eye, and we were discussing. She said to me, "Dad, you've got to write an article on it. I think it's really important." And we spoke it through, and eventually she said, "You know what? You actually can't. You don't have a uterus, Dad. You actually don't get to write this article." And which is actually the reason I wanted to. I didn't in the end, just because I didn't think I had anything meaningful that I wanted to add to the discussion that I thought could bring additional perspective. But the point was that it really does become very difficult when you stop and you think, am I entitled to an opinion on this if I don't have a uterus, if I don't belong to the group that is dealing with this issue?
Yes, well, frankly, I think your daughter is wrong.
Okay, me too. I always think she's wrong. I'm actually going to record that and play that back for her.
And I'd happily discuss it with her because, yes, I think your daughter would be right. If you were saying women should not have the right to choose, should not control their bodies, it would be, well, of course, you know, the reason we're in this pickle is because men seem to make all these decisions.
Right. Well, that's kind of where we got to. So therefore, here's a guy.
But it doesn't mean you can have no opinion. It really doesn't. And particularly if your opinion is based on the awareness that you're doing it as a man who doesn't have a uterus.
Right.
So what's very important to me is that self-awareness. That if you're writing about that topic, you must be aware you're writing about it as a man.
Right, and that's the perspective. And then deal with whatever comes your way, because that's what we have to do. And I think your point, as you said right in the beginning, is right, is that as long as we aren't silenced, as long as we aren't barred from doing it, well, then everybody has the right to respond the way we have the right to say whatever we want to anyway. And that's the magnificence of freedom of speech. Because that's ultimately what it's about.
They don't have the right to threaten you. They do have the right to be rude.
Absolutely.
And they can call you certain names, but I think not if it crosses into hate speech.
Right.
But we do have to say we need vigorous and rough debate, and that sometimes gets difficult and tough. But if you choose to enter the public arena, it's part of the game.
Professor Anton Harber.
When you play rugby, you accept certain injuries.
Absolutely right. Professor Anton Harber, great conversation. Executive Director of the Campaign for Free Expression.